What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, covers the LSU Tigers for the Morning Advocate. Times-Picayune does a great job. Wilson Alexander. Wilson, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you all for having me. Hope you're having a good day.
Having a great day. Wilson, I got to ask you, where would this team be without what they hit in the transfer portal? Man, we would be talking about a lot different situation. And what it added to this football team, basically your two starting safeties are going to be from the transfer portal. They really added some talent and some depth along the defensive line, potentially two starters along the offensive line. You added to your wide receiver core. Your backup quarterback, Van Buren, was at Mississippi State last year. So, man, you know, a lot of people a certain age, they don't, man, I don't like it. I don't like the transfer portal. My thing is, yes, you do lose people in the transfer portal, but you don't talk about what you bring in. And Brian Kelly finally really embraced it, and it has made a difference on this LSU team today.
This team would not be the college football playoff contender that it is without what it added through the transfer portal. LSU signed the top-ranked class, according to 24/7 Sports, and it went out and got a lot of guys with power conference experience that it needed to have on this roster. LSU's 2023 recruiting class, the first under Brian Kelly, is mostly gone at this point. And without what LSU did in the transfer portal, it wouldn't have a whole lot of upperclassmen on the team. That wouldn't be your core. You'd be really young and vulnerable in a lot of different positions. And LSU still has some weak points on this roster, some areas of concern, maybe a better way to put it, I should say, at this point of the year. But it's a potential college football playoff team, and that would not be the case with what LSU added to the transfer portal, because they've got at least nine, I think, projected starters, and it could be as many as like 11 or 12 who were all new players on this team and were playing somewhere else last year.
Now, Wilson, I was looking at, every team has some weakness, and looking at Clemson and at their expectations, boy, I didn't realize how bad they were last year, against the run, stopping the run. Now I'm like, I don't know, can LSU run? And the question I have for you, when you look at Caden Durham at running back and Harlan Berry, is that the 1-2 punch? And after that, where do you think they're at as far as actually having a stable of running backs or being able to run the football and to help out Garrett Nussmeier?
Yeah, it's really not a 1-2 punch. It's really just Caden Durham's the lead back. That's very clear. He's probably going to have to handle a fairly sizable workload. Over the previous few years of the Brian Kelly era, and this might not have been, they kind of had a rotation at times. Logan Diggs sort of took over as the starter and got the majority of the workload when he was healthy in 2023. And Caden Durham probably would have played even more last year had he not been dealing with some dislocated toes. But in general, they have liked to do a rotation, and that's not really going to be the case this year. I mean, Caden Durham's going to be the lead back for sure, and it's just going to be interesting to see kind of what Caleb Jackson and Harlan Berry can add, and Juwan Johnson can add to this position. LSU's thin at running back after the JT Lindsey suspension with his arrest, and Trey Holly, and ending up transferring to Southern amidst his ongoing legal issues. And so, it's going to be fascinating to see if Jackson and Berry can be a compliment, can create a 1-2 punch. So far in camp, LSU has been giving them reps, especially with the second team offense, but it's mostly going to, I think, be the Caden Durham show there in the backfield.
So no Josh Williams is up to bat.
Well, Josh is gone, but if you mean somebody,
there's no one to replace them, really.
No, there really isn't. Somebody who kind of just exactly what you're getting. With Josh Williams gave you, was he a star running back? No, but he was a reliable option who was really good in pass protection and somebody who LSU trusted to do all the right things. And you don't necessarily have that because Harlem is, he's just, you know, he's young. There's a lot of talent there, but he's young. He's got to keep getting bigger so that he can withstand hits in the SEC. And Caleb Jackson is not really flashed this preseason. You know, he might have some kind of role, but we'll see what that is. Yeah, you don't have a Josh Williams necessarily on this team.
Now, Wilson, where would you say now to stay on the offensive side? Where are they at right now? Because before you know it, the game's going to be here against Clemson. More in the interior offensive line or on the edge of the offensive tackle? So what are you still like, I got to wait and see?
Both, really. I mean, this whole offensive line is just, you know, completely remade. Even DJ Chester, who was a starting center last year, the only starter who's back isn't going to be playing center. He'll probably be the starting left guard, but, I mean, that's an ongoing competition between him and Paul Mbenga. It's the reason I really say both is LSU's got more probably playable depth at guard, but it doesn't have a tackle, but the position battle is ongoing at guard, which it really isn't at tackle. Tyree Adams is going to be the left tackle for sure. Weston Davis is probably going to be the right tackle. There was some interesting thing today with Kerryus Curran, the true freshman, playing right tackle a little bit. But it's really just, I mean, this whole offensive line is, we really have no idea what we're going to see when LSU actually gets to go up against another opponent. Brian Kelly has continued to maintain confidence. So if you take him at his word, they're going to be really good. But we just don't know yet.
Now, Wilson, when you look at the skilled people, not in the trenches, who do you think is going to have the bigger jump? And then you look at all the depth. Is it the wide receiving core for LSU is it like 1 and 1A or is it the secondary, you know, counting the combination of cornerback, safety, and all that?
I think that'll make the bigger jump is the secondary. It's got a, you know, sort of a more of a jump that it can take, right? I mean, LSU's receiving core last year wasn't maybe what it has been in some previous years, but it wasn't bad. I mean, you had 2 800-yard receivers with Kyron Lacy and Aaron Anderson, and it would have been probably everything else you needed it to be if Chris Hilton hadn't gotten hurt. There's a lot more depth in the receiving core now, for sure. There's certainly some talent there. I don't know that there's a clear-cut number one at this point, but a lot of things to like. But the secondary, I think this could be LSU's best secondary probably within the past, I'm trying to think. I don't want to, like, forget somebody or overdo something, but certainly under Brian Kelly, this will probably be the best secondary that they've had. And it's a pretty low bar to clear. But Mansour Delane looks really solid at cornerback. I like the additions they've made at safety with A.J. Halsey and Tamarcus Cooley. There's still that other corner spot. Looks like maybe Ashton Stamps, but there's still some competition ongoing there. And it just feels like they've made some upgrades there that can help them be a lot better in the back end.
Brian Kelly has not gotten off to good starts at LSU. 3 straight losses. And also, too, he started the season, his special teams have been nothing special.
Yeah,
I think this year that may be a little different because of what they got in the return game. And Ramos, he looks like, you know, he would be on your pension plan. He's been there for so long, at LSU. But I think due to the talent that you got as a punt kick return unit, now the question mark is, can your new punter kick like he did where he was before? But I think that this is a really good return unit, and that can set up a short field or hit a big play for a touchdown on special teams.
We've been waiting for that for years. I mean, remember a couple of years ago when Gregory Clayton, the fair catch specialist, would just catch the ball after LSU's muffs in the return game, and everybody in Tiger Stadium would just cheer because there wasn't a fumble. We've come a long way from that. But now that you've got Xavion Thomas and Barrion Brown, and then even Aaron Anderson and Kyle Parker available in the return game, but it's headlined there by Thomas and Barrion Brown. I mean, Barrion Brown is a kick returner, leads the SEC all time in touchdowns, returned with 5. Thomas, you know, didn't do a ton in the return game last year at LSU after he had at Mississippi State. I think LSU probably needs to do a better job of setting up returns for him. But he, you know, reliably caught the football and would try to make things happen. And now with those two guys in particular, I feel like LSU's got something, like you said, pretty could have something cooking there. in the return game that could really make a difference for this team. Maybe for the first time under Brian Kelly, special teams can actually be a strength.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Now, Wilson, looking at the quarterback position, I think Nussmeier, that he's probably saying, okay, the one thing, you know, you always can get better. Either you're getting better or you're getting worse. But it's the turnovers. I didn't realize this, but those 12 interceptions, that was tied for the most in the SEC last season. So even though he had 29 touchdowns, over 4,000 yards, I know he wants to maybe cut that in half and still have the productivity as far as yards and touchdowns. But then what about if, I don't know, because everyone's holding their breath, is he healthy or, you know, he's ready to roll? But how was the backup situation there? Michael Van Buren, isn't that the kid from Mississippi State?
Yep, that's him.
That is he look like he's would be ready? Because he started a number of games to be able to maybe plug and play if that would occur.
I'll start with Nussmeier. He's looked good here in the preseason. He hasn't been putting the ball in harm's way. He's even been scrambling at times when it's sort of unnecessary. And that's two good things to see because that's what he needed to work on the most. And, you know, once the games actually start, we'll get a better idea of how well he's protecting the football. But at least here in the preseason, there hasn't been a lot of moments when you say, ooh, he shouldn't have made that throw. Oh, that was a risky decision. It feels like he's taking his checkdowns when he needs to, and still doing all the things he does as an anticipatory passer. So that's been good to see. If he were to have to miss time, LSU has, I think, in a better backup quarterback situation than it did a year ago. Michael Van Buren is an upgrade over A.J. Swan. Now, Van Buren has been inconsistent. Like, it would certainly be a step down from what you've got with Garrett Nussmeier. But he's got some SEC experience. He's shown some flashes of talent. There's some things to like there. And the one thing with Van Buren, however, is that he, like today at practice, on his throwing hand, had a couple of fingers taped together. He hit, I think, somebody's helmet when he was throwing during LSU scrimmage on Saturday, is what I was told. And it's unclear how much time he's going to have to miss. He was not a full participant in practice today, not dressed out or anything, going through just like sort of mental reps behind the quarterbacks kind of thing, doing stuff on air by himself. So, and not throwing at all. And so it's maybe we'll be able to get a better idea of that when we talk to Brian Kelly tomorrow, if he's going to have to miss time. But as long as he is healthy, he is definitely LSU's backup quarterback.
Now, Wilson, do you think Whit Weeks will build upon his outstanding season last year? Look, he became a star where when he had 125 tackles, tied for the second most in the SEC. Do you think he'll build upon that? And then also him and, I don't know, Harold Perkins, that combination. Are they ready to roll and truly catch the nation's attention?
Well, Weeks is, I think they will, as long as they're both healthy, full go, no limitations coming off of their injuries. There was no reason to think that they weren't until just recently with Weeks. He didn't practice on Friday, and then he didn't practice again today. Now, that might not be anything but load management, which is what Brian Kelly said it was on Friday. He said that Weeks would not practice more than 5 days in a row until game week next week. LSU is about to, starting today, has six practices in a row, so maybe he's just sitting out today and he'll be fine the rest of the week. With Harold, he didn't practice today, but I'm told that's nothing significant. He should be back out there. And so, you know, as long as they are healthy, they've looked pretty good here in camp. And Perkins, you know what you're getting from Weeks, I think, at this point. I do expect that he would continue to build on what he showed as a sophomore. He needs to play a little bit under control sometimes, but that's also partially his strength, right, just sort of playing with his hair on fire. With Perkins, all the questions about his position and everything at the start, this feels pretty well suited for him. He's been disruptive. It's one of those things where, you know, I want to see it to believe it, but it has been an encouraging preseason for him where he's actually making plays that I don't recall him necessarily doing as consistently the past 2 years.
Wilson, final question for you. How much 12 personnel is this team going to play with the two tight ends with Bauer, Sawyer, and who I think is the best athlete on this football team, Tre'Davious Green? Because I think, man, those two guys are going to be a handful if you've got to cover, especially Trades, down distance situation because of his size and when you get in the red zone. And that was an issue with LSU last year, not being able to get touchdowns. They had to settle a lot of times for field goals. I think that's where Trades and Bauer can really up the game here because of their size and their mismatch with athleticism in the red zone.
LSU talked a lot about playing 12 personnel for the past 3 years and never really did because it didn't have anybody at tight end that it trusted outside of Mason Taylor. This year it actually has two tight ends that it trusts. You're going to see some 12 personnel. I mean, even this morning when we came out of practice, LSU's doing some stuff on air with the full team offense going through plays. Who's on the field? Both Bauer Sharp and Trades Green. LSU's got a lot of options at receiver, so it's not like they're going to play 12 just all the time, but they are going to certainly play it more than they did the past 2 years to get both of those guys on the field and take advantage of those mismatches. Bauer's a little bit more well-rounded, not a perfect product, but, you know, he's probably a little bit of a better blocker than Trades is at this point. Trades, he's so tall that he has a tough time getting leverage, but he's a willing blocker too, and he's a mismatch there in the slot playing at 6'7", like I said. And so Trades, as we were talking to him recently, and he says that he calls the red zone the green zone because that needs to be the area of the field that he dominates. We saw it in the ball game. I think we'll see more of it this year too with him in the red zone in particular as such a tall target and such an athletic person, like you said.
Wilson, we hear the tick-tock of the clock is getting louder and be here real soon as LSU starts the season against Clemson in great matchup for game one for the Tigers. And let's see if Coach Kelly, who's put a lot of pressure on himself now, not only on his team but on himself, to win that opener up against Clemson.
It is. I mean, he'll be here before we know. And like you said, Kelly's the one building these expectations. He's now he's got to go and meet him.
Absolutely. Wilson, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great stuff. Appreciate you joining us here on the Big 870.
Thank you for having me. Y'all have a great night.
All right. Thank you, Wilson.
Wilson Alexander does a great job covering the LSU Tigers for the Advocate Times-Picayune. Come back with more second guests right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.